Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called me.
This is Nathan on the spot in Orangeburg, South Carolina. That was a request for one more song, so hold on. We'll be right with you after this song. Thank you very much. Have a good night. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord God. This is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We God bless each and everyone tonight. I'm Apostle Marcus Ruby. Welcome to the glory to God. Welcome to the Eagles Fight Hour. And I thank God for what He's about to do in this hour and this time. We thank God for all His provisions, all that He is, all that He does, and all that He is about to do. We bring you greetings tonight. Amen. And we welcome each and everyone to the line. We God bless you. We thank you for being patient with a small delay. But amen. Now that we've been delayed, we will not be denied. We're about to go forth and praise God for what He's about to do. I just want to make one quick, just let everyone know, if anyone who desires to call in to ask for prayer or may have a question, comment, glory to God, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. And nevertheless, we're about ready to go in tonight, and we're going to let God have His way. Now let's pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I surrender.
Thank you. Can anyone hear me?
Okay,
so glory to God. I think we had a little thing going on. Could you give me some start? Give some feedback. Glory to God. Okay. Amen. Thank God for being heard. Okay, we're getting the feedback. I don't know where it's coming from. I bind them spirit of voice. In the name of Jesus. Take control of these lines in Jesus' name. Glory to God. All right, let's go forth. Amen. So let me start again. Amen. Because I don't know what was heard or what was not. So I'm going to start again. We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to start at verse 5. In the same way, I'm going to read through. I'm going to read two verses, but I'm going to do through two different translations. I'm going to do it in King James Version and NET Version. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. You all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. In the same two verses, I'm going to NET version. It says, in the same way, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And God will exalt you in due time if you humble yourselves under his mighty hand. Praise God. Well, tonight we'll talk to you from the subject of get low, stay low, the power of humility. Get low, stay low, the power of humility. Get low, stay low, the power of humility. Glory to God. Humility. What is humility? We're getting some feedback. I'm not sure if it was something that's okay. All right. Humility, the quality or state of not thinking you are better than other people, the quality or state of being humble. Humility is the quality or state of not thinking you are better than other people, the quality or state of being humble. Amen. Okay. Then what is humble? So you're talking about the active attitude of you walking this thing out of not having an attitude thinking that you're better than other people. That's you walking in humility. Now, what is humble? Being humble is not proud, not thinking of yourself or as better than other people, given or said in a way that shows you do not think of yourself better than other people. Showing that you do not think of yourselves as better than other people, not proud, haughty, or arrogant, or assertive. Being assertive. Now, let me say this about being assertive. Being assertive is not the opposite of being humble. Now, you know, being assertive is that if you ask, you do one thing, for instance, you make a request of someone and they didn't do anything with it, okay, now you come back again, you're not going to talk about them. You're not going to I don't know why they didn't hear me, why they never did. No, you go back and directly confront something. You bring it back before them. You ask, you know, bring the person to accountability about why something wasn't done. And being so to some people sometimes can look at that as being arrogant or prideful. No, you're just trying to get something done. So you bring that question or that whatever the situation is, you bring it back to them. Now, if anyone desires to call in and ask a question, anything, the number is 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get in the queue box. Amen. So glory to God. So amen. As we get ready to continue going forward into this word, the power of humility. Get low. Stay low. The power of humility. No leader. Let's start with the head first. when it comes to leadership, if a leader is not humble, they don't need to be leading. Because what happens if the leader is not humble, the followers are going to be the same way. And furthermore, you cannot lead if you cannot follow. If you can't follow, you will not be a good leader. We must be, one of the first things that leaders need to be is teachable. If you are not teachable, then you are not usable to God. Because, once again, God resists the proud. How can God teach you if you're not able to receive? How can he show you if you think you got it all together? It's sad today we have leaders right now who think that they're untouchable, they're unteachable, that they deserve to be leading and not following. Even at a time when they should be following, they think they should be leading. Got it all twisted. But we need to understand God has called us to be leaders. That means example, problem solvers, and as far as when it comes to we should be examples when it comes to serving God. We should lead the way in our servanthood. We should understand how to be servants, how to serve. Now, if one is not taught, of course, one don't know. But then in that case, then why are you leading? And then we have to question leaders who put you in that position to lead. Why are you leading when you ought to be following? But it all comes down to this thing. If either way it goes, because there's sometimes some people may be leaders, and they may have, you know, for whatever reason, they may have been put there, and okay, they're there. Okay, you can't, you not necessarily can't take that away, but okay, they're there. But the thing is, too, that even there, you may still have a lot to learn. But if you're not teachable, you cannot learn. If you're not humble, how can you really learn? Sponge is a full sponge. But if the sponge is empty, it can absorb a lot. In other words, if you're full of yourself, how can God pour himself into you? God cannot pour himself into a full canister, a full vase. He can't pour himself into it. It's already occupied, full self. So as leaders, we can't be full of ourselves and expect God to fill himself with us. We have to come to God empty. You don't know nothing. I don't know nothing. We need God to teach us. We got to humble ourselves. In other words, lower ourselves to realize you have not arrived and we're not all there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As a leader, if you're not teachable, God can't use you the way he desired to use you. You actually become a problem. You become a liability to God rather than being an asset. Because, see, because of your arrogant attitude, if you don't be humble, you can cause more trouble than you can actually help. And we have to keep that in mind. Amen. So, once again, humility is the quality or the action or state of not thinking that you're better than other people. You're not looking for people to turn up your head just because they didn't come up the same way you come up. Just because you don't have what you have, you don't look at them and turn your nose up. Let's deal with leaders on another scope. Just because someone may not have what you have or have accomplished, listen, just because someone may not have accomplished what you've accomplished, let's deal with that. That don't mean that you, just because you got a bunch of knowledge, a head knowledge, that don't put you in a certain echelon with God. Let's deal with that. See, the thing is this, no matter how much earthly language you got, I mean, earthly knowledge you have, you're not smarter than God. God used a foolish thing in the world to find the wise. You may think because you have a lot of book skills. Okay, not knock anyone. You may have gone to theology school. You may have got your degree, doctorate degree, whatever it is. Not knocking you. You did what you did, your time, you got what you got. But that don't mean you know God better than anyone else. Just because someone does not have a degree, that don't mean they don't know God. Matter of fact, in a lot of cases, it's been shown, proven, and still is being proved that some people who really come up in the ranks and learn spend time in God's presence outside of going to college or going outside of having a degree, They actually can identify the presence of God better than some people who have been to school and have a bunch of head knowledge. See, you may have a bunch of head knowledge, a lot of information, but I just need to know his presence is there. Taking anything away from anyone who has. But we can't be so much letter, as far as the word, letter, as far as into the bunch of information, and deny his presence. That's another thing, too. Do you know the presence of God? Have you studied his presence? Have you experienced his presence? That's another thing we have to understand. We need God's presence just as much as we need the letter. We need to know God by his spirit and truth just as much as we need to know him by the word, the example, or the logos. When we have the Bible itself is called a logos word. Then, of course, we talk about when God begins to speak to your heart by base of revelation of what he's based off is his foundation is a word. Now, based off the foundation of the word, he may speak to you, give you revelation. And then he also may speak to you by inner witness, speak to your conscience, speak to your inner parts. So by your spirit. So we have different, there's different ways of God speaking to you. But some people may have a lot of background. You might know Greek, Hebrew, all that stuff. That's fine, because we're getting to know God in different qualities, different range, different ways. That you can have, you can have a bunch of doctrine and a bunch of written information that draws you closer to God or puts you in the place where you're the presence of God beyond anyone else. So we have to understand to keep things in balance. Because sometimes people have a lot of letter, a lot of information to God, but really knowing God's character, his love, see, some of the basic things that we can miss out on because we got so much information. See, we can have so much information about God that we get lost in the information. I just want to know him. I just want his presence to be upon me. I just want him to just put the words in my mouth to speak to someone who to cause them to give their life to him. I want the Lord to show me how to speak love to that homosexual to cause them to come out of lifestyle. I want God to give that word in my mouth to give comfort to a person who just lost their mother and father, how to give them an encouraging word that's going to cause them to hold on and live longer. See, all of my doctrinal information does me no good if I can't communicate or relate to a person. See, when we're humble, humility will help create a connection. See, if you're humble, if you're not humble, you can't really effectively talk to people because everyone's going to be beneath you. You're always speaking down to people. You won't have a humble attitude to where you're actually letting them know, look, I feel what you feel. I've been there. Talk to me. I want to hear. Your problem is my concern. I want to hear this. See, that's one thing I've learned as a minister of the gospel. Just keep this in mind. In order for people to feel comfortable to open up and talk to you, they got to feel that you, first of all, care. Not only care, but that you're actually going to listen. That you're not going to look at them all weird either once they tell you what they're going through. People have come to me with some stuff. People have come to me with some stuff that's like, wow. But the fact of the matter is my face can't show it. I mean, look at them and listen to them, okay. And I remember that thing, my mom and brother was like, wow, that's heavy. But the fact of the matter is, there's no problem that they have that God can't solve. There's no problem that you got that God can't solve. See, I'm just the point of contact, the vessel that's there. But God is God. As we pray, we invite God into your situation, God will do it. See, it's not about me getting my ranks. No. It's never about me. It's always about God. And when we can show people that we really care and minister to them, love, and let them know that, you know what, God cares about you because he has me here to listen to you, to even encourage you. And I want God to be a blessing whichever way. See, this is the attitude that we have to have with humility. So because if we don't have that humble attitude, we're going to miss God. Amen. So as we encourage you tonight, amen, the power of humility, getting low and staying low is very important. Amen. We have to understand that when we're low, that means we're in a place where God can reach us. Our face is closer to the ground. That means our heart is open to hear and receive from the Lord. That we're not trying to do things on our own and we do without God. Amen. So as we encourage you tonight, just remember, staying low is more than just a word. It's action. Getting low, humbling yourself, repositioning yourself, posturing in a way that's respectful to God. You know, some things that we have lost from old school that was very important when it comes to serving God. That's some of the fear of the Lord. When you understand about the fear of the Lord, and not only about the fear of the Lord, but the connection between the fear of the Lord and his people, God's people, we will be more mindful on how we treat one another and do things to one another. Because you understand that this person you saw, this child of God, that's God's child. So we have to remember how to handle each other, how we should handle each other. Part it shows how a part of our is part of our worship to God. Amen. Okay. When we talk about being low, we're also talking about not rising or extending upward. That means you're not. Some people with a haughty spirit, it's a thing of puffing the chest out and sticking their head up, like putting their heads up to, you know, like you're beneath them. Okay, well, humble is the opposite. You lowering yourself. Now, don't get me wrong. Let me plug in this point here because I don't want people to get the wrong impression. Now, when we say about someone being humble, okay, let me see. The number, if anyone needs to call in, ask a question, comment, the question is, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get in the Hue box. Now, when we talk about humble, let me make sure I say this right. We're not talking about being a doormat, okay? There's a big difference from being a doormat, being a coward, versus being humble. Being humble is, technically, I know I have the power to crush you, but I choose not to come that way. Or I'm being mindful of or care about you rather than pleasing myself. You know, some people, you know, okay, there's certain different situations to where some come up and someone is trying me. Someone's trying to see, you know, let's see impossible, take this or whatever, take that. You know, and the thing is about it is I understand my authority as an apostle. And I understand that God's heart is close to mine. So knowing that, I also be careful how I pray. Because I also keep in mind that I can't let frustration from people cause me to come to God any kind of way. Or put any kind of request before God just because I'm mad at you. Lord, crush him. No. That's not going to be my prayer. Because this is what humility does. Humility does this. Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. That's what humility does right there for you. It tells you right then and there, make it real simple. Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. And you can say, you know good and well, I know good and well that, you know, you doing what you're doing, you know what you're doing too. It blows me away when I think about Jesus. How Jesus on the cross, you know, he on that cross, and he is dying. Yet, he has enough humility in the process of dying to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Being the Son of God, the Word, being God all in himself, he could have crushed people because he said, I could call a legion of angels. right now and get me off this cross. You know, it goes to show you that the cross didn't kill Jesus. Jesus humbly gave up the ghost and just died. No cross could kill him. Poked in the side, that couldn't do it. But Jesus' faith, his love, through humility, he humbled himself to the point of death. Let's go to that scripture. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Amen. We go to Philippians chapter 2, we can see this good picture of what the word shows us about Jesus through humility. Many times we go through some things, and God is watching how we handle stuff, y'all, while how our attitude is when we're going through stuff. If we're mad at the world, and how much we let stuff get to us, we want to cuss everybody out, we want to fight everybody. God is watching you. He's watching you. He's watching how you handle his people. He's watching how you handle your word. And sometimes, you know, sometimes when we come down in humility, people can get really beside themselves. Amen. So let's go to, let's see. Oh, I'm sorry. I need to go back to that. Philippians chapter 2. Let's deal with this here for a second. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Well, let me slide on to the point. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. See, the focus is not on you. You're not making everything about you. Okay, let me say this. Now, that's humility. Now, some people can walk in false humility. They can say with their mouth one thing, but then their attitude is a totally different story. Oh, yes, Lord, we love Jesus and this and that, and, you know, love Jesus and this and that. Oh, yeah, you're my brother, this and that. But then the attitude is just expressing, like, you know what, people know how to work words. People know how to make it look good. But when their actions show, they're saying it's two different things. Like our favorite saying, like I like to say, I hear what you're saying, but I can't see what you're saying. If I can't see what you're saying, then something ain't right. Something's not lining up. And if you're not walking in humility, then you're walking in pride. But then if you say that you walk in humility, but then you act improper, then it's false humility. You're not doing what you ought to be doing. So here it is, you're not showing what you're saying. You know, so we can't put on a facade like we're humble, and then at the same time do things that's going to actually show that we're not humble. God is looking at consistency. He's looking at to see how we operate. False humility is the opposite of humility. You're saying you're humble. You're thinking that you're humble, but then your actions are showing, or your mindset is showing, that you're not. We can't be deceptive. So here it is. You're thinking, okay, let's see. You know certain things to do. Let's see. Someone, here it is. Someone said, offer you money. You know, somebody just said, no, I'm sorry, I don't, no, it's okay. I don't need to take money for that. You know, and you say it out of sincere heart. You're saying it because, you know, you understand. Your heart is there. You know, no, thank you. I don't need to take your money. Isn't that? Okay, then you know how to act, you know, so okay, you that's the person who says it, you know, humility, it is for real. Now someone else comes along who say, no, it's okay, I don't want to take your money, but isn't that? No, I'm serious. Okay, well, yeah, you know, all of a sudden know what to say that maybe look good in front of you. But then their heart is like, say it one more time and I'm taking it. And they go ahead and, you know, their heart shows a different thing from what they're saying. And then they act a certain way in front of you. But then behind your back, did you see the attitude when you're not there? See, we can put on the front before people, but God always sees us. See, you may look humble before everybody. You may know what right words to say to make the people think that, okay, yeah, they're humble. But then when it comes down to it, if we see your actions, see the way you do stuff, it's all about you, you, you. Every time I look around, it's all about how you feel, how you think. But when is it going to be about someone else besides you? But just yet, you say be a humble servant. You're saying with your mouth, but your heart is far away from me. God, that's what God is saying. Your mouth is saying one thing, but your actions are showing a whole different story. And it's enough of that because people, you know, we have come to a place with God that, you know, we need to start lining up to what we're saying. If you're going to be evil, then be evil. If you're going to be good, then be good. Stop playing between the two. We need to stop confusing people. And don't just be part of the church just because you just want a place to hide. Some people say they want to become a preacher because they want to make all the money. I don't know what in the world, I don't know what they think about it. I really don't understand that one. They're not genuine. When you talk about someone who's a false, walking a false humility, they're not genuine. It's not real. It's staged. They know how to say the right stuff to sound deep, to sound holy, to sound good. But really, their actions are not showing that. If you watch the way they walk and watch the way they talk, you begin to hear and see what their true heart's intent. Give me the money. It's all about me, 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 me. Amen. All right. So moving on, amen. Once again, I was saying about low. Low means in this situation as we're talking, means to extending or reaching upward than others of the same kind. Okay, when you have an opportunity, there's times to where you may have someone who, let's see. You have an opportunity. Matter of fact, you have an opportunity for something to happen. But you know, if you do this, this could block someone else from receiving. Okay. And but you know what? I can wait for mine. You know what? They've been waiting for a long time. For some reason, my opportunity came a little earlier than this. But you know, they could deserve this opportunity right now better than I can. So I'm going to turn mine down to give them who probably more desperately need the situation. You may have someone may have blessed you. Well, instead you taking your house, and you know you might be actually farming pretty good. But you say, you know what? I want to bless them. That they can use this a little more than I can right now, and I just want to be a blessing. See, being humble. See, this is what moves the hand of God, because you sacrifice. See, when you This is what Jesus represented. When you're able to look beyond yourself, your needs, and see someone else's who may be in a worse case than yours, and say, you know what, I can wait a little while longer. Let me help them. Oh, God, touch them, bless them. They need you right now more than I mean, I need you too. But you know what, I can wait till next go around. I can wait. But them, they need you right now. God honors that. Man, you know, that means God's, because God's saying, you know what, that's the love I'm talking about. That's my heart. That's my servant. That's my child. God can identify with that. Jesus. Think about this. Jesus left. He left heaven to come down to earth. He did not consider himself. He came down and gave himself to us. Let's go back to, amen. Was it Philippians? we were talking about. Amen. Let's go back to Philippians. Amen. And truly, okay, amen. So he said, oh, Lord, amen. Okay. All right, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. So once again, you be considerate of the people before yourself. You could, you know, you could pray for yourself. You could do a bunch of things for yourself. But then at the same time, you're like, you know what? I'm putting me on the side. I'm okay. Let me just go ahead and focus on others. See, that's the servant as the attitude of a servant. When you understand, think about it. All right, think about a servant. They can make it about them all day long, but they choose to serve someone before themselves. When they are serving to the king, that means you put yourself on hold and you're serving the king. You could be using a whole bunch of things, right? You could, you know, a lot of things, but you, at the same time, you put yourself on the side and you're serving the king. You're serving whoever it is. Amen. That's what it means to be a servant. When you understand that it's about others, but giving yourself to others rather than just taking. Some of us, sometimes we deal with people who just always take it from us. That's not healthy. That's not good. Listen, verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also of things of others. In other words, don't just look at yourself. Don't just look at, it says, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You know, when it comes to wealth, okay, let me ask you a question. Perfect example. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Why do you want to be rich? If you ask yourself, why do you want to be rich? Why do you want to have? Why should God bless you with this job? Some people say, because I want to have the best things in life. Okay, that's your answer. But is that really a good reason? Or let me say like this. Is that a good reason that God would bless you to have? See, as long as your need is met, you know, you're fine. I mean, really, you have sufficiency, okay? You know, it's good to have some desires, you know, that you want. Your need's covered, and you have some desires, okay? That's just being sufficient. But for us to be rich, everyone don't necessarily have to be rich. Now, if he made you rich, why? Okay, if he would give you the opportunity to be rich, why would you want to be rich? So you can have everything that you want? You can just spend money on yourself, just bless yourself? Part of the reason why God has some, what's part of the reason why some of you have not become rich yet, or some of us, is because God knows our heart. God knows right now the way you are limited. You don't have all the bountiful money in the world. You're okay. You'll be okay because you don't have a whole bunch of money to do the things you want to do, but you have enough to kind of continue to go forward. And so he got you in a place where you are kind of humble right now. But he know, just look at what, okay, look at your attitude when you get your income tax. People know when you get your income tax, you cannot be found, or if you're found, you're the king or queen, everybody got to dance at your foot, you know, is our attitude. See, if we're not humble without money, we sure ain't going to be humble with money. And sometimes as people keep failing the test, if God can't trust you to have the right attitude, the right spirit without money, Lord have mercy if he bless you to have money. Can the world even stand you? So, amen. Anyone need to call the numbers 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. So when we talk about being low, we're talking about you humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. See, being low is necessary because we need to be able to humble ourselves under his hand. So we're, you know, being a place where God can use us. It's hard for God to use us if we're not humble. It's not going to be fair that for God to try and hate us, he's trying to bless, you know, try and use you to be a blessing to someone, but then you're stubborn because things don't go your way. And so you buck up against God. Because it's what you want. It's not the way you want. Well, Lord, I don't want blessings, so they don't need this and they don't need that. Did God ask you who needs to be blessed? Did he hold back when he wanted to bless you? No, you won't. See, the thing is, we want people to pour out the heavens on us, but when it comes for us to point out on people, we won't give a spoonful of ourselves. See, God sees that. When you have opportunity to give and he sees that you give a pinch, but then you expect a dump load to come on you, God sees that. That's not humble. That's not being humble. That's not being humility, welcoming humility. How is it you want God to bless you with the heavens and earth, open all the windows of heaven to blow and pour you out a blessing? But then when it comes down for God using you to be a conduit, using you to be a vessel, he got to pry your hand open and almost knock you out to give it. My God. That's the kind of thing that saddens God's heart. Because, listen, Christians should live to give. Say that with me. Christians should live to give. That should be our heart attitude. Give of our money. Give of ourselves. Give of our life. This is why, my God, thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 and 1. My God. This is why, right here. This is he gives the scripture right here. 12 verse 1 and 2. He says, I'm reading through the NLT Bible. He says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Listen to that. He said, give your bodies to God because he has done for you. All that Jesus has done for you, you mean to tell me you can't give him your body? Your life? He said, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he would find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. See, we can't worship the Lord haughty and being arrogant. So even when it comes down to worship, or the way we give our life to the Lord, we have to give freely and wholeheartedly. We can't do it resentfully. Jesus, take the wheel, then we take it back. Jesus, take the wheel, then we take it back. Well, Lord's like, what is this? When we give ourselves to life and even ministry, I did a post out recently saying about to really operate in ministry, it is selfless, not selfish. When you give yourself to, when you saw people talking about being going into ministry, it's not what God can give you when it comes down to your ministry, working in ministry. It's about what you can give of yourself to others. You are putting yourself on front line saying, Lord, I want to give myself over to you so you can use me to minister to people, whichever way that is. Humility is the key for any elevation that God wants to do in your life. You want to go higher in the things of God? Humble yourself. Let God use you. See the need of others before yourself. Now, I'm not saying for you to necessarily go lack into where you crushing yourself, hurting yourself. No, but at the same time, don't let it all. It should not always be about you. Every time you look around, it's all about what you. It's always about, okay when it comes around. What can I get out of it? What can I get out of the deal? What can I do? What can I get? It's never just what can you do? How can you be a blessing? People need to be blessed by the gift of God that's inside of you. It's not always about what you can get from people. The leaders that work with us, they know. I don't mind. I live and breathe this thing. I don't mind giving myself. Because I love people. God's people. No, let me say, I love people first. And now, of course, I love God's people too. Because I have to say to them, because God loves us. He loves those who, even those who are sinners, he loves the person, but not the sin. As God's people, I love God's people because you're God's people. And I'm living my life to give, dedicate myself to whatever way to bless you. That's why to be in leadership, it has to be a selfless act. Because the higher we go in the rankings of leadership, the greater service we should be. Every Sunday, Christian leads twice in a day. And it's not to bring glory to myself. No, but the thing is, that's not including what we do in the rest of the week. We're constantly giving of ourselves that others may be blessed. See, me yielding myself today could yield to someone else being blessed on tomorrow, whichever way that could be. And the bottom line is God is looking for someone. See, he's looking for us. Jesus being our elder brother, he was the first example of the one who gave himself as a living sacrifice. He gave himself first. He had to be the first fruit of many brethren. He had to be the first one to give himself to others so they can live. And that's what we do. We give ourselves to others so they can live, for others. We give ourselves for others so they can live. We give ourselves to the Lord daily so you can live because of the word that comes out of our mouth, because we surrender. See, I could be watching football right now and do a whole bunch of things. No, the fact of the matter is this is my heart's desire to give, to be a gift unto God. Whichever way he wants to use me, I want to be a conduit for God. I want to be the example, the one who God can count on to be used to give himself freely so others can be blessed. Humility is not just a word that we talk about. Humility is action. Humility is the action of that word humble. The word humble is what you do. But you know, as far as what you have to do, that's the plan. Okay, that's what we have to walk out. You know, when you're talking about being humble, it's just not being not you. You be not proud, or you be in the mindset of not thinking of yourself more high, you know, better than others. But when we walk this thing out, it should actually be showing. We should actually be showing Jesus as we walk this thing out. Being humble. It's all God. In order for us to 12 and 2, in order for us to be able to really walk out, giving ourselves a living sacrifice, that means we need to be able to be like Christ. We need to give because Christ gave himself for the church daily. All right, so this is a daily thing we need to do. Give ourselves daily. Verse 2 said, do not copy the behavior or customs of this world. This is the thing that we mess up sometimes. We want to bring the world to the church. We cannot act like them and expect to please God. See, God says the world's attitude is selfish. Think about it. The world's attitude is selfish. Always about them. Never about God. They give God whenever they can give to God, you know, if you do anything. It's always about their agenda. It's selfish. Selfish. But when we come to Christ, it should be the opposite. We should be givers to God. We should be selfless. We should be humble. Not arrogant or prideful. See, when people in the world get things, it makes them have more pride and arrogance. You know what I'm saying? More pride. And they're thinking about themselves more. I'm not saying everybody's like that, because there's just people who are kind of genuinely humble. But at the same time, it's more so about things versus about God. See, when God blesses us, we keep in mind that it's first of all, without him, we couldn't even have it. Then our whole heart mindset is to give to God, to be a blessing to him, his people. Make ourselves accessible to the people of God. To freely give ourselves to him, to you, to each other. See, this would be a thing between one, between another. It should be between both of us. You know, all of us, all of God's children should be humble servants. Not about you all the time. You know, that means you don't neglect you. Now, I'm not saying neglect you to where you don't never have no fun or don't never do nothing for yourself. But at the same time, it shouldn't be always about you. People should be able to feel and tell a sincere heart genuinely given to them. Time, effort, whatever it is. They should be able to tell the genuineness of your heart because of humility. Amen. All right, let's go back to Philippians. Chapter 2. Amen. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, he said, let this mindset be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So this is the way Jesus thought. He thought about others for himself. You know how far Jesus would walk just to heal somebody? Jesus did that. He was a humble servant. He walked. He went far as miles. He extended himself. And sometimes God can't even get us to show up one place, much less two or three places. Because we have to understand, with ministry is given. Ministry is given. When you bless others, that's in your time, your attitude, your life, it's given. It's not you getting from people. Okay, amen. Two more verses, and we'll be out of here for tonight. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In nature, he was equal with God. And he thought not robbery, because he understood his place and position. Okay, even though we're not God, but we still, as gods, we have the power and authority. So just showing you, even though I may, okay, let me say this. Okay, let me say this. Let me put the chop the devil on his neck while I'm at it. Just because I'm an apostle, that doesn't mean I can't clean the toilet. Just because I'm an apostle, that doesn't mean I can't change the diaper. Just because I'm an apostle, that doesn't mean I can't eat from paper plate. Just because I'm an apostle doesn't mean that I can't keep churn, even including my own. The title doesn't make you. And some people are living off a title because they put everything into a title. You can take the title, but you can't take the anointing away. I still am who God says I am without a title. You can take the title away. That won't change who I am. But at the same time, the one thing with being an apostle, I've learned that the anointing is not only good for inside the church, but it's also for living. There's things I have to do with my family sometimes, and I look back and I'm thinking, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do it, but somehow God has helped me, enabled me, empowered me to do it, even beyond what I can think. Because as I humble myself as a servant, whatever the home needs, that's what I'll do, that's what I'll be. To bring balance in your home, you may have to be the one to cook some dinner sometime and wash dishes and whatever it is you might have to do. Don't let a title get to your head to think, oh, I'm so and so. Don't let me trip, because that title didn't make you. You were already doing the work. See, you didn't have a problem before you had the title on you. So now you got the title on you, you can't do the work. Well, the title confirmed who you've been doing, who you've been before you actually did the work. I mean, listen to me. The title confirms you doing the work before you get the title. I was an apostle before I had the title. Now it's just affirming the earth of who I am. So don't think just because you used to clean the bathroom before you became an apostle, now you became an apostle, you can't clean the bathroom. Something's wrong with that. The higher we go in the rankings, the more we should serve. You should be a greater servant the higher you go. The people God know who fellowship with us know that I preach Lord knows how many times in the week. But it doesn't matter. I'm fine with that because I understand. If I'm the apostle, then I have to work. See, title or elevation comes in your life to give you more work. That's what it does. If you're doing less work, something is wrong. There's some privileges that come with being that, but there's still a work that you have to do. And so I understand that. It's not the title that makes me. I am who I am by the grace of God, and I love to serve. If you have someone who doesn't love to serve, that means they don't love people. And if they don't love people, they don't love God in the way they say they do. There's a problem. Because God calls his people to be servants. So I thank God for his word tonight. Amen. We'll continue back on next week. I know our time got kind of thrown off with technical difficulties. But perfect. If the Lord says so, we'll come back on next week and continue in the word of get low, stay low, the power of humility. get low, stay low, the power of humility. So, Father, we thank you right now for this word. Touch you for each and every heart. Thank you, Lord God, for keeping us covered in Jesus' name. If there be anyone right now tonight who does not know you as Lord and Savior, we ask that you repeat after me. Lord, forgive me. Hallelujah. We thank you right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for giving us this opportunity. Forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for anything I've done. It was not like you, Lord. I surrender my life to you. I give you my all. I open my heart. I receive today, Lord Jesus, as my Savior and my Lord. And I thank you for washing me from my sins, making me whole, saving me, setting me free in Jesus' name. And for those who may need to rededicate, Lord, forgive me for going astray. I surrender all to you. Lord, I thank you. I receive Jesus as my Lord, Savior. Let him come into my life. Help me to come back into alignment with your life and living in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. To whom much is given, much is truly required. Amen. And we will definitely go to that scripture as well next week. But, I mean, it's just a lot. When God has called you to be who he's called you to be, there's a responsibility and there's a price. And we need to be that. But only we can do that through humility. We can't be arrogant and haughty and please God. God is looking for people like his son Jesus. That's why Jesus is our greatest example. So I encourage you today. Be like Jesus in everything we do, even when it comes down to humility. Get low, stay low, the power of humility. God bless you all. Amen.